Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 103, part 1. My name is John. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? I've mentioned before that although I've been a huge comic book fan in general, and a DC comic fan in specific for nearly 40 years, I'm not a big fan of Superman or Batman. They are, though, two of the most widely recognized superheroes in the world, so when movies are made about them, I'm definitely going. When I was 15, I walked over an hour to the nearest movie theater so I could watch Superman IV, The Quest for Peace. Granted, that was a mistake, because that movie kind of sucked, but that's what a dedicated DC fan does. Christopher Nolan made an outstanding trilogy about Batman, grounding it into a somewhat more realistic setting than most comic book movies. You know, the Joker was not created by falling into a vat of chemicals. Bane does not gain instantaneous strength by injecting a drug into his brain, and so forth. This idea of putting the characters into a more realistic setting was adopted when they decided to reboot the Superman franchise. But of course, Superman is an alien with amazing powers, so that really can't be portrayed as real. But the world around him can. What would it really be like if a rocket ship crashed on Earth with an extraterrestrial baby inside, and it was found by a couple in rural Kansas? Once they realized his special abilities, what would they do? How would this child feel as he realizes the truth of why he's so different from everyone else? As he grows into a man, being the ultimate orphan, how would he find his place in the world? What if he wanted to use his abilities to help people, but at the same time wanted to maintain a modicum of privacy and anonymity? This is the idea behind Man of Steel, the 2013 opening to the often maligned DC Cinematic Universe. A lot of people dislike this more realistic portrayal. They consider it too dark and grim and moody. Again, I'm not the biggest Superman fan, so I never nitpicked over movies the way some of the hardliners insist on doing. And that's changed about me over the past few years with the double standard myopia for comic book movies that I'll touch on here in just a moment. I really enjoyed the movie when it first came out, and I scratched my head at some of the negative reviews. That's not the Superman we know! So I thought about some of the comic book storylines that people consider to be the best of Superman. Now, I haven't read all of them, so I'm going to briefly list some of the top stories that I have read. John Byrne's Post-Crisis Run. In that story, Clark Kent is not a mild-mannered buffoon. He was a popular high school football hero in his hometown. There's no Fortress of Solitude. There's no campiness. Red Sun. What if Superman grew up in communist Russia, rose to political power there, and embraced the role of a dictator, battling a freedom-loving Batman and using his power to take over the world? Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, the imagined last Superman story from Alan Moore. One by one, his enemies attack until the greatest of them reveals himself. Classic characters die, helping Superman at his last stand. The Death of Superman. The title explains it all. Superman dies, stopping the monster Doomsday. Kingdom Come. A self-exiled Superman tries to bring order to the current generation of reckless and dangerous heroes. The end of the epic battle between three armies of superhumans is chilling. All-Star Superman from Grant Morrison. This is the most positive of them all, and it begins with Superman finding out he's dying. I bring these up because the idea that Superman is always this smiling, positive character is completely inaccurate. People who advance this idea are stuck in some kind of funky myopia where Superman's attitude begins and ends with Christopher Reeve flying over the planet, smiling at the camera before he exits the frame. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The hero who is always positive, who never lets things get to him, who never doubts himself, who never makes a mistake, who always comes out of a battle physically, emotionally, and mentally unscathed, is a damn boring hero. That simpleness disappeared with the comics code. But it seems that's what some of these fans want. And I'm glad this movie disappointed them. You're only remembering what you want to remember about this character. The comic books, some of the best of them, still had a moody, self-doubting hero trying to find his place in the world. So, what else you want to complain about? For those not blessed with situational awareness, there are major spoilers ahead for Man of Steel. Oh, and Superman 2 from 1980, in case you haven't seen that. First complaint, the color palette is too muted. Not worth my time. Next. Jonathan Kent doesn't give the perfect homespun Midwestern advice. Aww. He and Martha are understandably worried. Had anyone figured out Clark was an alien, the government would have taken him. I mean, Jesus, haven't you people ever seen E.T.? The Kents would have been at best quarantined and at worst imprisoned for hiding an extraterrestrial. They know Clark has abilities, but what are his limits? How indestructible is he? They're not willing to take a chance that someone will find a way to harm the boy they have raised and love. So when Clark risks his secret to save his classmates drowning in a school bus accident, he asks his dad later if he should have just let them die. And Jonathan does not have an easy answer for him. This is not the nostalgic naivete of 40 years ago, but a modern pragmatic view of how people who try to do good are treated. I just read a story about a woman who was taken to jail for using a building to shelter pets abandoned during Hurricane Florence because she didn't have a permit. This is how independent Good Samaritans are treated in our country today. And Man of Steel reflects that quite well. The massive destruction of Metropolis and Smallville during the Kryptonian attacks, that was just too much. If an army of thousands of powerful aliens attacked a heavily populated city, say, New York, complete with energy weapons and maybe even like gigantic whale-like creatures big enough to destroy buildings, and a hero tried to stop them, what would happen to the citizens? Do you think some would maybe die when those buildings were hit or those weapons were fired? What if it's more than one hero? Maybe a group of heroes work together to stop the invasion. What if both sides are firing weapons and not always hitting their targets? Do you think bystanders might be hit? What if One of those heroes is a giant green rage monster that runs rampant through the streets and the buildings without any regard to anything other than attacking the aliens. Do you think there would be casualties in this little fracas? If you're not nerd enough to catch on, I'm talking about the final act of the first Avengers movie, their big closeout to Phase 1. After the battle, everyone miraculously survived. Seems not a single civilian died. Just some minor injuries. And the bright heroes ate some shawarma and rode off into the sunset. Hell, it was so insignificant that Stan Lee's cameo was dismissive that it even happened. I mean, Agent Coulson died, but no big deal, he comes back. The only characters who die in Marvel movies are the few key individuals who are meant to die merely as plot points. Okay, sure, the Asgardians died in Ragnarok, but it was a funny movie, so who cares? That's why Infinity War had no gravity to me. Oop, spoilers for Infinity War. Loki died. Or did he? I mean, he's faked his death before. If he did die, so what? Wolf has been cried too many times for me already. The surviving heroes after the Thanos snap just happened to be, for the most part, the original team, all played by actors whose contracts are up. Avengers 4 will be those characters sacrificing their lives so the others can live. What could be played as meaningful deaths are made predictable by pretty milquetoast writing. In the DC movies, at least in the early ones, battles in highly populated areas don't have sappy Disney endings. Now, this is a Superman who was taught by his parents to avoid conflict. He was always more powerful than the bully, but he was taught not to fight back lest he lose control and reveal his true nature to others. He doesn't know how to fight. And he's facing a dozen skilled and trained warriors. His only advantage is that their powers haven't reached their potential, and they aren't adept at using them as they get stronger on Earth. He has to take them out, and he has to do it fast. He's rushed, untrained, outmatched, and inexperienced. He doesn't yet know how to protect others from becoming collateral damage. If he diverts his attention to save people or stop a falling building, that gives Zod ample time to kill many more people. By the final battle, Zod has nearly reached full power. Superman is now gravely overwhelmed against an enemy hell-bent on death. The speech Zod gives before the final battle with Superman begins is all you need to know about what the outcome must be. Either Zod dies, or Superman dies, followed by all human beings. Those are the stakes, and they're believable within the movie. After a fierce and destructive battle, Superman has Zod in a headlock, but in Zod's line of sight is a trapped family. Zod blasts his heat vision at them. Superman pleads for him to stop, and of course he won't. So in an act of desperation to prevent innocents from being roasted alive, Superman snaps Zod's neck. I heard one particular comic book writer walked out of the theater when that happened because Superman doesn't kill. Oh, really? After Henry Cavill's Superman kills Zod, he is instantly devastated for having to take a life, even as one as evil as Zod. And he screams in anguish. In Superman 2, Christopher Reeve's Superman, after completely depleting Zod of all powers to a point where he is no threat whatsoever, throws him across the room in the Fortress of Solitude, where his body slams against a wall of ice before finally falling down into an icy Arctic chasm. No one ever questioned that. Or the smile on Superman's face after Lois sent Ursa to a similar death seconds later. Oh, and in the comic books, Superman also executed the Zod of a pocket dimension with kryptonite. So Superman has killed, and killed Zod specifically, in other movies and in the comic books before. But nobody condemns those instances. The fan reaction actually reminds me of a theme in the movie. Everybody wants Superman for their interests. The government wants to find out who he is in a desperate attempt to control him. The Kryptonians want him to join their cause so that they can take over the world. Why? Fear. The government fears his power may be used to end their dominance. The Kryptonians fear he stands in their way of becoming dominant. It's no wonder Superman is so emotionally beaten down as the fear and attempts to control him continue in Dawn of Justice. It's just like the fanboys saying Superman should only do these things, or Superman should only be this way. If you quit trying to make Superman what you think he ought to be, and just explore the cinematic universe for what it is, you would find deep, layered characters and pathos you won't get in that other superhero movie universe. This is a story about a man with exceptional abilities just trying to do his best and what he believes is right. In the real world, those kinds of people, no matter how hopeful or positive they are on the outside, get beaten down by this world of controllers. To me, the best line of the movie comes when Superman is being held by the army. He effortlessly breaks the handcuffs they have on him, and he tells the general, "You're scared of me because you can't control me. You don't, and you never will. But that doesn't mean I'm your enemy." Maybe that's why some people dislike this version of Superman so much. It refuses to conform to their limited expectations. It still respects much of the history of Superman while forging its own fresh take. As much as I enjoy DC movies and seeing characters I never expected to see on the big screen, I'm looking at you, Cyborg, The Man of Steel is, in my opinion, the best story of the bunch. Shake off the baggage of the critics and the unreasonable expectations of myopic fanboys, and give this one another shot. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.